I know you have said you are not that people are against solar energy, but just taking care
right.
where they are placed. I can't believe the time has flown. We are out of time. Would you believe this? So will you join us again and we just continue this conversation?
And, I would be honored.
And also, I'm hoping that Sojourner Truth team will be able to come out to the desert sometime soon and meet with you and some of the elders and get more of these stories to share with our audience in Southern California and in other parts of the country. So we hope that would be possible.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Clifford Chavzer. And I'd like to thank the Sojourner Truth team, our assistant producer Ramiro Funes, Mr. T. Teddy Robinson, our engineer. If today's show produced by me, that's Margaret Prescott. If you'd like a copy of today's show, please contact the Pacifica Radio Archives at 1-800-735-0230. Go online to pacificaradioarchives.org. Thank you for joining us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 8:59 a.m. Next up is Fight the Empire.
Good morning. This is Fight the Empire on KBOO, your radio station. Our nation and much of the world seems to be moving toward a future of renewable energy, but the technology for renewable energy requires materials that are not renewable and are growing scarce. So this is kind of the weakness, the problem with renewable energy, that it requires materials that are actually being used up. For an example, solar power requires photovoltaic cells, and wind power uses these giant turbines that require manganese, molybdenum, nickel, zinc, and rare earth metals. The renewable electricity is stored in batteries using copper. Electric vehicles require cobalt, graphite, lithium, manganese, and rare earths. And a lot of these materials just come from a few countries. Most of our cobalt comes from the Democratic Republic of Congo. China supplies the rare earths. Argentina and Chile produce most of our lithium. And according to the International Energy Agency, an electric car uses 6 times the minerals of the old-fashioned gas guzzler. And all these minerals are growing scarce, with the peaks in production coming sometime in this century. And oil, our economy rests on oil still, and figures I've seen that show that there's enough oil to last for about 46 years at current rates of production. Natural gas, there's enough for 58 years. Phosphorus could run out in 50 to 100 years. And then there's aluminum. There's lots of bauxite in the ground, but mining and smelting use an awful lot of energy. Coal, which is environmentally dirty, there's enough of that for 188 years, but I really doubt if we want to use it all if we had, unless we had to. there are 17 rare earth elements, and China supplies 97% of it and says that they could be gone in 20 years. And from what I hear, there is even a shortage of sand, which, of course, is a major component of all our concrete structures. And all this mining and processing uses huge amounts of water, which is left contaminated. And so it seems that seems like all of my life I've heard talk of colonizing Mars, a desolate planet. Meanwhile, we use and abuse our bountiful Earth, and you wonder where this process will lead to. If people have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 503-231-8187. What do you see as the future of our natural resources? Do you see what do you see happening after they run out? Which, how soon do you think they will run out? I think we should keep in mind that mining is an extractive technology. It takes stuff out of the earth, and it doesn't put anything back. So sooner or later, this one-time bounty runs out, and then what are we left with? You know, the human species has been around for you know, a million years or so, and in all that time, we've had this sort of this this bounty, like a bank deposit, sort of a treasure in the vault of natural mineral resources, but they don't we don't produce new mineral resources. They were there from the beginning. They were produced by all sorts of cataclysmic events happening in prehistory, and it's a one-shot deal. When they're gone, they're gone. So we are left for the only input we've always had, and that's the energy of the sun. And the sun provides the energy that grows plants and trees, and it enriches the soil. The plants and trees die and decompose, and the nutrients go into the soil, and it builds up the soil. It's sort of a bounty that that keeps growing. It's sort of guaranteed to last as long as we take care of it. But are we taking care of it? This is one thing that we should be asking, that the one thing that that we have under our control that can be sort of grown and and made to give us more in return is we're sadly neglecting it. And now this is happening at a time where much of the country is suffering through a drought. Apparently, it's one of the worst droughts for a long, long time, and it's very possible that seems to me the case that this drought is the end result of our industrial civilization. It's the result of global warming, and the global warming is due to all the industrial uses that that heat up the atmosphere and use up these natural resources. So like a downward spiral, and this is something that humanity is doing to itself. Metals can only be recycled a few times, and unless we can create substitutes, these metals will be gone. And once they're gone, they really can't be brought back. you know, you hear about people about creating new sorts of usable resources out of plant matter, out of plastics that are created out of plant matter. Of course, there's a big problem with plastics also, but it's like there's not enough substitutes on the horizon, as far as we know, that can maintain the kind of industrial civilization that we have right now. So this is something we should be thinking about. Will our industrial civilization last, or will it fade away because it's used up all the resources that it feeds off of? And if the industrial civilization that we have now, if it fails, if it fades away, what will replace it? It's possible that in the not too distant future that we will be building entirely with wood. Of course, even that depends on people taking care of their forests. You know, we can use up the wood and in good ways or bad ways, and so it doesn't. We can grow a forest and keep a perpetual supply of wood, but much depends on the ways in which we use it. But it's. I recently read an article about some process. It's an interesting bit of technology. I'm not sure how it works, but it takes wood and it densifies it. It makes it more more dense, and it makes it more like metal, so that this wood can be possibly. It hasn't happened yet. At least it hasn't happened in a way that can be scaled up to run an economy, but this wood can be made to act like a metal and be used as a metal.
Harry is on the line.
Well, we have somebody on the line. Harry. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. You were mentioning earlier about mining.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Colorado has a real bad problem of abandoned mines. And what's happening is after they abandon the mines, I mean, they use all types of chemicals to extract the things that they need. And well, now the mines are abandoned. It could be gold mines. It could be whatever in Colorado because they have all those mountains. But what's happening after they abandon the mines is they're filling up full of water, and this water is contaminated. And I remember a few years ago they were having a problem mine that was actually spilling into the Colorado River, and was contaminating the river. So it's like, wow. I mean, they should do a solution. Maybe they need to, after they abandon the mine, put some dynamite in there and blow it up so it collapses. I don't know if that would be a good idea or not. And the next thing you mentioned was about Mars. Well, Mars, are we spending billions of dollars going to Mars? And about Mars is it's a dead planet. The biggest volcano in the universe is on Mars. And why is it over there? If you look at the other side of Mars, well, there's a giant crater. It was an impact, and it blew because if you look at Mars, it has two moons. One of the moons really is a giant rock. They think that was the one that hit Mars. And what it did, it blew magnetic core out of it into space. And if you look at Mars now, they have dust storms. All these dust storms are actually going to space because it has no gravity. So why spend all the money of trying to land on Mars when it's kind of a dead planet? What's your opinion?
Oh, I don't know. I think, I would wonder, how did Mars get to be a dead planet? Was it always like that? But it seems to me that we spent so much money and effort, to do something with this dead planet when we seem to be creating a dead planet right here on Earth. I mean, it's...
That's true.
It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? What do you think?
It's kind of, and like I said, but you mentioned about all the chemicals and stuff that we need, and the worst part is you didn't mention nuclear power. Well, nuclear power has nuclear waste, and how do you get rid of it? And, we have a half-life of, 10 or 20,000 years or something like that. So how do you get rid of it? But I have a solution. It has to do with Elon Musk. If we can take those, like at the Trojan plant where we have all these spent nuclear rods, well, if you can put them on a spaceship and launch it to deep space, that is going to another galaxy, well, by the time it hits that galaxy, everything would have been burned up. Well, that's my suggestion for nuclear waste, but...
Well, I've heard that solution offered before. Of course, some people think you just sort of send it into the sun or just kind of burn up and be gone. But the thing is, suppose you put all these nuclear rods into a spaceship and then you try and launch it and it kind of blows up on launch, you know. That has sort of scattered all this horrible nuclear waste into our atmosphere. So you're taking a risk doing that. If it works, it's fine. But if it doesn't work, we're in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling. I don't know. It's what do you think? Where is our industrial civilization taking us? It seems to be leading us to a place where we may not want to go. And in the meantime, it is taking the minerals that were our Earth's endowment, our patrimony, as it were, and kind of using them up. And when they are used up, it's pretty hard to you can't bring them back. And so, like I was saying before, that maybe someday we'll be building entirely with wood. And there is this process. I'd like to know more about it. That densifies wood and sort of turns it into something more resembling metal. And then I've heard that some people think that wood can even be made transparent. Well, this is something that really seems pretty strange to me, how you can take a piece of wood and make it transparent. I'd like to know more about that. But maybe someday, when these resources have gone, that we will be riding wooden bicycles around. So, what do you think about that? Give us a call at 503-231-8187.
Constant Walker is on the line.
We have another caller on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Here in Indian country, we can't really rely on the advertising and the hype about what things really are. We have to kind of go by what their effects are in Earth's living arrangement, which is where we all live, of course. And the actual observable effects of civilization on Earth's living arrangement are the same as any wasting disease is on any living organism. So civilization is a wasting disease, and it is laying waste to the planet. I guess the good news is that it's in its own terminal stage right now, and it'll soon be over. If there'll be any of us around to notice that, that's problematical, but civilization has about run its course here. and we're about done with it. Earth is about done with it.
Well, and what then? I mean, is a wasting disease? Is it sort of waste us into oblivion, or is it a kind of I don't know. Where does it lead to? Do you have any ideas on that?
What does a wasting disease do to a human body, for example? Some of the many diseases that waste the body, it leaves it in a state not fit for life.
Hmm.
Maybe Mars had the wasting disease some time back.
Well, maybe Mars is a result of a kind of an Earth-like civilization that wasted all their resources, supposedly.
No, they're not. Here's another thing that we know in Indian country. The Earth is not ours. We are hers.
Right.
These are not our resources. These are aspects of her being that are essential to her wholeness and health. This possessive thing that the civilized people inflict upon everything here is a grievous error in perception and cognition. That's one of the reasons the civilized people are in such a terrible state right now, is because they don't know where they live. They don't know what this is, but they think they do. So they behave as though they do, and all of their behavior has these repercussions that have brought these conditions that you yourself and many people on the radio station there and all over the world are beginning to suspect are terminal and fatal for the species.
What do you think it will take to the Earth be restored to becoming what it should be? What will it take to do that?
Well, who are we to say what the Earth should be?
Well, we can do our best, you know. We're not infallible. That's obvious.
Well,
but
is our relationship to the Earth such that it's up to us to decide what she should be and then to make it that way? That's what civilization is all about, is making the Earth conform to what people think it ought to be, rather than recognizing that it is our place here. We have a place within Earth's living arrangement, and we are to conform to what she wants to be.
Okay. Well, that's go ahead.
Well, I mean, so all of these questions about what should people do, well, maybe the first thing most of us should do is get over the sickness that is ourself.
Mm-hmm.
It has us believing that we're in charge. That we're the ones who are supposed to decide how things should be.
So then, basically, what I hear you saying is that that Earth itself is what makes decisions, and it's up to us to go along with it or try and fight it. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct. Earth has her own life processes, just like every living organism.
Okay.
And here, within her living arrangement, the human being has a certain organic function within her living arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
We are a component of her immune system. Right now, the vast majority of the humans here are organically dysfunctional. They're not fulfilling the organic function of our kind within Earth's living arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to just exactly all of the problematical conditions and situations that people all over the world now are decrying and living in fear of. If you want into the way of Earth that John Trudell talks about, you got to get over your self-sickness. You got to quit believing that you somehow are in charge here or somehow special. And remember, what we really are here, it isn't who anybody is. Right now, at this stage of things, everybody here is somebody. It's just that who you are doesn't cut any ice in Earth's living arrangement. It's what we are. We are a component of her immune system trying to act like we run the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And we are obviously running ourselves into oblivion and extinction on that basis.
Well, But we still have decisions to make. I mean, we can decide
we don't. We don't have any decisions to make. We're not the decision makers here.
Well, we don't decide. What do we do?
You remember what we are, and you behave.
Pardon me? Are you there?
We don't have to make any decisions. The decisions were all made at the very beginning. All we need to do is remember our place here, as Barbara Bernstein says, our place on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything fits back together in the way that we can go on living with, and all of us together, all of Earthkind can go on living together.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the rogue human species made up of artificial individuals that run off in every kind of direction is systematically, through its industrial machinery, destroying the life support capabilities of this planet. They
mm-hmm.
are, as you said yourself a minute ago, it looks like they're turning it into Mars.
What I'm trying to get at is what do... Is there anything we do, or do we just kind of, you know, I mean, everybody's life is full of little small decisions that either further this process or sort of turn it towards a process of healing the earth. And so there are things we can do, and what do you see us doing?
The earth has the full capability of healing herself. We are not healers of the earth. Leave her alone. You know, if we just stop doing all of this stuff and leave her alone for a while,
mm-hmm.
it would be good. So you're talking about what are we supposed to do? You know, the ancients used to say sometimes the best thing to do is nothing. To not mm-hmm. do anything. And
well, not to be too philosophical, that's kind of a decision
in itself.
It's
not philosophical, it's actually a constant day-to-day thing in front of us that we have the option of not doing certain things. We can just stop.
Mm-hmm.
We can stop doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's the answer to the question. You want to have a better place to live? Stop destroying the place where you are living.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop. Stop mm-hmm. and listen. Listen to your relatives. Listen to the trees. Listen to the other beings that we share this place with. And just stop doing all of this terrible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop. That's all. It's not complicated. It may not be easy for people, but it isn't complicated.
Okay. I'm trying to visualize it. It's sort of, stop.
Here's the thing. People, you know, the civilized people will either stop doing what they're doing or else they will be stopped from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The conditions on the earth are rapidly coming into a way that all of the things that the civilized people think they have to do in order to keep going are becoming impossible to do. So they just simply won't be able to. It's going to be very traumatic, but that's where it's going.
Well, I'm trying to get at what it means in our daily lives. I mean, well, one way of stopping this process of destruction is to go out and grow a garden in the backyard or something like that. I mean, there are little things that we can do, and that's what I'm trying to get at.
I know, because you are in the mode of doing things, whereas we need to be in the mode of not doing.
Which is
the mode of not doing. Leaving things undone. Just because something can be done doesn't mean it should be done or it's best to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what the modern people are doing is much better left undone.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, it's true. And it's simple. It's not complicated.
Well, sometimes the way you describe it, it seems kind of abstract.
it's abstract when you look out your window and there's dirt in the air and you can't go to mm-hmm. the river and drink. That's not abstract.
Well, okay, so I get up in the morning and I see dirt in the air and the water. Do I sit back and wait for something to happen, or do I...
Well, one of the things you can do is you can stop putting your bodily waste into the water. You could do
okay.
that.
Okay. That's a very good one right there, yes.
That's right. All over the world, people are dumping their bodily waste into the same water that they then have to drink.
That's right. It seems to me...
How crazy is that?
That is very crazy. It's something I've always thought about. We use clean water as a kind of a slurry that transports waste from our house to a sewage treatment plant or something, and it is a crazy way of doing things. So this is what I'm trying to get at, that
stop doing it.
Stop. Okay, that is a decision. To stop doing it is some kind of a decision in itself. So that, this is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I know, because you want there to be a decision.
Well, a decision is forced upon us, sort of no matter what we do.
Well, things that are forced on you aren't really decisions by definition.
Well,
decisions
okay.
are options that you exercise. If you're forced mm-hmm. into something, you haven't made a decision. You've simply gone along with whatever it is that compels.
Well, you know, I hear my music playing. This has been really a fascinating discussion. I wish we could go on with this, because it leads to some really interesting thinking. So thank you very much for your call, and I want to thank all...